You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Michael Vick.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. I got that, but I sacked that man. That was one of the highlights. Hey, what you doing? I got a sack on. I was a cover three. I was supposed to be in the flat.
In the backfield.
Boy, he started scrambling. I said, yeah, you ain't finna have me in this flat.
No, you better, nigga. Yeah, yeah. You better go get him. Shoot your shot.
I'm out of here.
Our next guest is a good one. I can't say that I'm like all the way excited because the last time we saw this cat, it was in a big game and it went in his favor and not ours. I'm going to just read some of his resume. 8-year NFL vet, played in Super Bowl 50. He's a Super Bowl 50 winning champion. He is now the CEO and co-founder of Player Above Sports Group. Ladies and gentlemen, TJ Ward.
Appreciate it, fellas.
Congratulations. I don't think I ever told you congratulations on Super Bowl 50, but, you know.
And I'm not going to do it today, but I will ask you, what was the most impactful or important play in your eyes or your opinion in that Super Bowl 50 win?
I think was our first fumbles, first to set the tone of that game, and we got the touchdown. That would just set it off. It couldn't start no better for us, honestly. But before that, that drag by Owens, that first big over route, that we hadn't had a big play like that all year to start the game. I'm not going to lie. And that momentum, that even the energy it gave the defense, it was like, just get down there, give us three to start with, and we're going to hold this three as long as we can. But, yeah, man.
Owen pissed off on me, too. I mean, I gave it a veteran push because he was like, and then extended it.
You know how they
do. I looked at the ref, was like, bruh. He's like, I'm not calling that. I'm like, okay,
you know
I
see
what
we
had.
Man. They would, because you guys tight end.
Olsen, Greg.
Man, Greg, he's you know practice.
I know, I played against him a lot.
And then he get to complain and push you to PI. It's like, come
they
on,
all
bro.
Complain. They all complain. How did it feel winning the Super Bowl in your hometown?
That was a dream come true, man. It's like my football, my life started here. My football path has started here.
Yeah.
And the peak of my football journey is ending and starting here or whatever in the beginning. But it was definitely surreal. Like, my family, I had a lot of family members there. Even though those tickets, I gave them all to family.
Yeah.
I didn't sell any of them. And just sharing that moment after in the hotel and stuff with them, being two exits from my grandma's house, literally. Right. It was amazing. Yeah.
That's cool. That's real cool.
Could you talk about, because I didn't even know this until we did some research, is that you went to De La Salle High School.
Yes, sir.
And so you played at De La Salle when they were, like, De La Salle, the 151 game winning streak.
DJ Williams, he went there too,
DJ,
right?
Yeah.
But DJ was there early. I mean, they also had Maurice Jones-Drew.
Like, Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah, they it's tons of guys.
Yeah,
and so what was it like Was it pressure there to like only
dynasty.
Never lose? Like,
yeah, man.
What was that? What was that experience like?
It was definitely pressure to, you know, be as good or uphold that previous class. What they doing? It's like coming behind you. The next class behind DJ Williams. You the next class behind Kevin Simon. You the next class behind Maurice Jones-Drew and what they've done. It's like, okay, we gotta be as good or better. So it was definitely a lot of expectations. I think we had a lot of mental responsibility at a young age that I don't think a lot of other high schools at that time had to deal with. We were almost like a college program. There's a lot of expectations, responsibilities, You know, of course, no smoking, no drinking, none of that. You get kicked off the team. You know, that normal discipline type stuff. But the things you did away from the coaches, within, you know, your teammates in that group, extra work, pushing you guys for expectations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What you
yeah.
wanted to do. So, yeah, it was definitely tough, but, you know, you say play at De La Salle. I didn't play much at all. I didn't play at all my junior year. I only played 3 games my senior year. I got hurt the 3rd game of the season, and that's why I walked on that Oregon.
But how do you go from not playing your junior year, maybe 2 or 3 games your senior year, and then you go to Oregon and you ball out, and then you become a second-round draft pick? Like, what changed from not playing to playing or
that,
starting?
That sounds a lot quicker and easier than it was, man. Coming on, I got the opportunity to walk on at Oregon because I had 4 teammates, best friends, that all got scholarships. And Nick Aliotti, the D coordinator at the time, his brother was our dean of students at De La Salle. So we had that connection. So Gabe, say you want to come up and be a preferred walk-on. I said, cool. Went up there, and at that time, it's like, I got to be better than everybody on scholarship, or I'm going to be out of here, or I'm going to be paying for education
for
4 years.
Yeah, that's that free agency mindset.
Exactly. Free agency mindset before you're free agent.
Yeah.
So I got the scholarship after a year. I was starting, and I got that first 3 years for me was like a taste of success and then injury. It's like I was starting, and I got hurt. And then I would come back from injuries, be starting again, and hurt my knee. And that happened for like 2-3 years until my junior year, where I got the opportunity to start, and I had a great season. I played with Pat Chung. We was
You know,
and then I stay my senior year trying to go as high as I can in the draft. And I get hurt first game of the season my senior year, miss half that year. I'm like, golly. So I finished off strong and had a good combine and everything, pro day, and shockingly I did go 38, man. I'm not gonna lie, I was like, I was getting told from teams second round, from the Browns, the Chiefs told me second round, a couple other teams told me, but you know, to go 38 here, 38, like, because it was the first year, the first round was one day, and then they did second and third. Remember, it was first, second, third, I believe, and then they did 5,
yeah,
6.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, dang, I gotta wait a whole another day. And then that next day, it was quick.
Early.
Yeah, I was half asleep still. But, no, a blessing nonetheless. And I had a great time in Cleveland.
Good.
I had
good.
A great time
yeah.
in Cleveland. Not winning. We didn't win much. But being a pro, learning the lifestyle and what it takes to be a pro and be great. Because losing, you learn how to be great. You know
right.
what not to do.
Right.
This is what we're doing is not working.
I bet your De La Salle experience probably helped you be ready to deal with adversity. And also, you focused, and you guys, like you said, you guys were different in high school.
Yeah.
So when you get to college, you know you got to be a little bit different to separate yourself, especially as a walk-on.
Yeah, for sure.
Then in the league, you get drafted, no matter where you're at. You still got, once you get in that room, you still got to do something.
Yeah.
You're to separate
that,
yourself.
Yeah, that next thing to push yourself, kind of. You know, as pros, individuals, you guys both know you guys are great players. You got to find that little niche that drives you, regardless of what it is, and let it push you. And for me, it is being the underdog and being a walk-on. I use that. My rookie year, okay, I should have been a first-rounder. I felt I could have been a first-rounder. Wherever I should have or may not, I thought I should have, so I used that to push me. Once I got in, I had a great rookie year. I didn't make Pro Bowl. I'm like, hey, he made Pro Bowl here, rookie. I had a better season than him. So just find the little things that push you along your journey and keeping it consistent.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in, to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah,
it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar!
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a DB, you a DB, all three DBs, right? We were in Charlotte. We were Thieves Alley.
Avenue.
I'm sorry. Well, Avenue. I meant to say Avenue. Thieves Avenue. Who had the better secondary? The no-fly zone or the Legion of Boom in Seattle?
And Legion of
we
Boom.
We had the best secondary.
Okay.
I feel we had the best secondary.
Why
for these
that?
Reasons.
Okay.
We played man and zone.
Okay.
We played every coverage. We played eight. We played sixes. We played buzzes. We played four. Those were our core defenses. And we played them all the time. You never know what you're getting. Mostly man, though. Mostly man. With them, you know what they was in. Three buzz, cover three. I feel if you asked that secondary to do what we did, they couldn't do it. But if you asked us to do what they did, we'd do it.
When I look at the numbers and the people, I agree with you. And that's because you had a nickel in Roby as
yes.
well, who was a first-round pick. Chris Harris at the time was balling out of his mind.
Yes.
And, of course, Akeem had always just been consistent, and he was just playing more and more confident and doing what he mm-hmm. was doing. Then you had Darian Stewart, shout out. He's from the state of Alabama, playing
Stewart.
Safety,
yep.
big-time banger, and then yourself. So I would give you the slight nod just because you had Roby at the slot.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Seattle and the Legion of Boom, it was really just about Earl, Cam,
and
Sherm.
Yeah,
and Browner was great, too, but
yeah,
he was just so big. But that was starting to become interchangeable, and they only focused on the three versus you guys. It was about all five.
And I think that's a little unfair to Browner because he really brought the boom to the Legion.
Yes,
like,
he did.
Him and Cam was – it wasn't even Earl early. Like,
no.
Earl, you know, he does his thing. But Browner and Cam was the boom in the Legion. Like, so when you
agreed.
Say that, I think more of Browner than any other corner for sure in that Legion.
Browner's 6'3", dog.
Browner's – he was the
one of a kind.
Corner.
Yeah.
And they did it for – longer period of time.
Yes.
You know, we had it. We was hot 3 years in and out.
Yeah.
You know, they were together 6 years. So, you know, longevity wise and keeping that core together, they did management did a great job of that.
So let's transition into your second act after football. What inspired you to get involved or launch the Players Above Sports Group Agency and your War Boy Foundation?
Well, first with the War Boy Project, our foundation is, you know, exactly what it is, creating foundation for these kids and making sure that they're getting or trying to provide as many outlets and resources for them to be successful that they wouldn't have otherwise, right? We know some of the areas in youth development programs are lacking from, you know, a time when we were coming up, unless more. It's a lot more virtual and those type of things, computerized technology. So we have a mentorship program. We have a scholarship program provided at De La Salle High School, you mentioned. One of our kids actually was in the Olympic trials that was on scholarship this past summer. So that was
amazing to see
him, right? It felt, man, it warmed me up on the inside. I'm not going to lie. Like, that was one of our guys. So fundraising, like golf tournaments. We had a crab feed. So anything to fundraise and be able to provide for these programs, these scholarships and symposium. We had that mental wellness, nutrition symposium. So just trying to create these programs and things for these kids, man. Put them on the right path, and hopefully I get one of these Super Bowl champions one day in here. You be interviewing them. Like, yeah, I came through the War Boy Project. So that's really the goal.
That's what it's all about, man. And then with your agency,
mm-hmm.
talk about that. Like,
yeah.
What made you go to there? Because so often players, they don't ever choose the agency route.
Yeah,
they don't. Even though, but everybody wants to help players.
Yeah.
But nobody helps him in that fashion. Well, why? Tough, why was it like that
it
for
was
you?
It was tough to get into. It's tough right now because you think you just hop in and oh, I'm an ex-player and players are gonna take the advice from me, and it's not like that, man. It's like starting any other business. Like you have to prove that you're good in this space. Like, yeah, I'm a good player, but that doesn't mean I'm going to be a good agent, a good manager, and a good person to take your son or take you on this career journey. But that being said, I have been through it. I've done it at the highest level. I've done almost anything you can do in this league. I got a great team behind me. You know, they're supportive of what, you know, we do as a whole and bringing guys along. I got great recruiters. They know talent. We know what kind of players we want. And it's just giving back in a different aspect and more of a professional aspect. You know, I'm going to get paid for doing my job, of course.
Tell me something that you've learned since doing this as far as, like, recruiting and trying to get players to come on side with you that you never thought about is when you were looking for your agent or to something that just you just weren't ready for.
I think a lot of the conversations I have with the parents is more. That relationship is almost tighter than the relationship you're going to have with the kid. Like, it's like I've talked to a lot of parents. I talk to more parents than kids.
That's something I did not think about, and it's so true.
Dude, it's like I'm on speed dial with parents just as much as I am. But you know when you're playing, you're in, you don't respond to texts as much. Even like when I was a player, that was my biggest thing I get from other people, like, oh, you don't ever answer the phone, you don't answer texts. Like, I'm at practice all day, or I get home, I'm done, I'm tired, I might look at it and thought I responded and I didn't, my bad. And trying to understand that with these players, so a lot of times you got to communicate through their parents.
Yes.
Because they talk to their parents all the time. Did you talk to your agent today? No, I haven't talked to him. Well, this is what we got to get done, and they communicate that for you, or you communicate that through them. But definitely that part.
I know we got a short amount of time and we got more guests and I know you're busy and stuff, but hey man, I thank you for coming out.
Thank you guys.
Thank you for
man.
Blessing us. I'll say it again. Congratulations on Super Bowl 50.
Yep.
And he, I will, and still I will salty. Not
say it.
He
hey, don't I do don't it. Blame me, man.
He's still salty.
I don't blame
you. And I will not say it.
You're not going to say it?
Look, no. So my brother played the next year with the Falcons, so I was part of all that.
Yeah.
And like I was talking to one of my teams, like, man, we remember we were at the after party after they lost? I was like, yeah, that was awkward. I was like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I didn't go.
Yeah, I'm with you, bro.
No one did go. No one did the after party. We didn't do it either.
I didn't go.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible. You ruined our night. Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right, appreciate
you. Good, TJ.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.